UNST, Tassel Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We're positively down here at Fadley's. I've got some Maryland scratch-offs from the Maryland Lottery. You might have a day or two to still get in for the Jacksonville trip. We're down here doing all this for the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at Goodwill and Window Nation. I got my Window Nation floppy hat here, 866-90-NATION. You can find them. We're doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. We are at Fadley's in Lexington Market, the old market. Sort of a hallowed, sacred space here that we're not going to be in much longer, but at least here until January. We're going to be coming down here all fall, once a month, having a crab cake and talking about city issues, election issues. One issue I had today driving into the city, you get to the foot of 83 and everybody hits the brakes and we're all following the law right in front of WBAL. I don't know why it's in front of WBAL, but we are. Tom Cole is here. He's the new guy over at BAL. You know, once they find out you're here, you won't be allowed to come back.
That might be
the case. You know, but I got you for now, yeah. And I'm allowing you to certainly talk about your new gig and the gig the other night. Tom Cole has been a friend of ours for a number of years, along with Don Moeller and everything we've done at Baltimore Positive and Elevate Maryland and Candace Dotson Reed. All these things going on, but, like, you've been in my timeline this week, man. There was, like, a debate.
Yeah.
And you did a little post game on the debate. The strangest of debates, right?
It was.
I mean, it's so peculiar. The whole MAGA thing, as it's rear view mirroring, it was surreal in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Watching the insurrection the morning after watching a devotee of the insurrection get elected, being all over the state in August and seeing the signs and the guns and the flags and the, like, all of that. He can't win, right? I mean, just let's start with this. He can't win, right?
So there isn't a path. And, I had Malia Cromer on for the post-debate analysis, and one of the things that we were discussing is when the polling gap is that big, and more importantly, when the Goucher poll shows that voters are fixed, like voters aren't changing their mind on this, what does the poll serve? What purpose does the poll serve? The debate. And in this instance, it still is an exercise in democracy. It is still something that when we are deciding who we're going to vote for, the voters have an opportunity to hear from those candidates, hear them debate, hear them contest ideas.
Well, he's going to lose 72-28 and then claim it was fixed.
Well,
have we not seen that formula?
Yeah, and that's why he's fighting so hard on these mail-in ballots, because he wants one day where it looks like it's close. Because on election day, the ballots that are cast on election day, they're going to be counted, they're going to be shown first. In these counties that aren't counting their mail-in ballots, like Baltimore County, they won't have their mail-in ballots counted. It's going to look close because election day, he's going to do better. But then once the mail-in ballots come in, the gap is going to grow, and it's going to grow, and it's going to grow. But so, no, he can't win, but does the debate still serve a purpose? Absolutely, because we need to know more about the guy who's likely going to be our governor, Wes Moore. And that was the one thing I'm hearing from people across the state. I don't know enough about Wes Moore. I don't know enough about what he's going to do. And I tell him, go to his website. He's got a detailed website with, footnotes and long plans written out. Like, there's a lot to
do. I'm seeing the 32nd. I mean, look, I've sat with Wes for years, right? I mean, Wes ended the last Crab Cake Tour after Larry Hogan refused to sit on the last day. So I said, I'll get the next governor. It's fine. We did it over Costas. And so I sat with Wes, and the first thing I say to Wes, I'm not here to kiss your ass. You're running for governor. Show me why you're the governor that you need to be.
Yeah.
I'm very impressed by Wes. I'm probably more impressed by watching, because I went to Heather Mazier's event up in Havre de Grace and been around. I mean, I helped get Bob Ehrlich elected 20 years ago, something that I've since renounced. but literally, the way he's running, having Afghanistan partners of his doing television ads, what he stands for, this has been from a political standpoint, from you being a political junkie much more than I. This has been a pretty well-run, scientific, professional campaign to become the governor of the state at a point where this guy wasn't polling a year ago, right? Mm-hmm. Like, literally, not that this is some sensation and he's going to be the next president or whatever that pie in the sky, he's the next Obama or whatever that would be for anybody across the country. Just from watching it micro, just here in Maryland and just saying what it is, this has been an impressive run to governor. Yeah. He really has been.
Yeah, and really he's running up the score now, you know, doing a commercial about his military service. He is clearly going for the middle and even the right-leaning voters that are going to contrast Dan Cox and Wes Moore on things that they care about. Because remember, everybody's approaching the election differently. And for those independent and right-leaning voters, his military history and background is important and impressive. He is a combat veteran. He was in the war zone. And so that is what we're seeing now. He is not going to talk to progressives anymore. Progressives, you had your chance. That was the primary. Now he's talking independents and Republicans because he also needs to come in and govern with political capital. He needs to run up that score because
and he knows it. I mean, he talked to me at length about that.
Mm-hmm. If he gets 70%, that is a mandate. That is, the Marylanders are saying, what you said you were going to do, we want you to do it, and there's no debate about it. So Republicans in Annapolis are going to come back and be like, you're too extreme, you're too this, you're too that, and he's going to say, look at the score. It's 75-25. It's 60-40. They want me to do these things. And so that's what it's about right now. It's about building that political capital so that when he comes in, he can be ambitious, because there's many people talking that we might have a presidential candidate coming to Annapolis. That 2 years from now, if Joe Biden doesn't go for re-election, we might be hearing whispers of maybe the only black governor in the country being in Maryland.
That's crazy to talk about that like it's 2 years out, because 2 years ago, I mean, the plague was almost 3 years ago now. The plague feels like 5 minutes ago.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, 2 years is that a track? Is that the track?
It's absolutely
a track. Because certainly Larry Hogan had a track that he wants to go out to Iowa and run around New Hampshire now, believing.
So I don't think he does. I don't think Larry Hogan does. And we could talk about that.
No. But I'm saying he had a presidential aspiration.
Sure.
At every turn.
Every governor does. Every governor thinks that is, if they can just do 8 years, after 8 years,
that's the next thing.
That's the next thing.
Yeah.
But in this instance with Wes Moore, look at where he's fundraising. He's not just fundraising in Maryland, and Dan Cox has tried to criticize him on this, but he's got donors in California. He's got donors in New York City. These liberal bastions where a lot of the decision makers for the Democratic Party live.
So you're the next guy.
Yeah. And so he is going to be in that mix.
So he needs quick change in Maryland when he comes in. If he's going to go out and run for president in 12 months, he better be moving fast.
Well, you know, an attractive place to come in.
You think it's that fast?
Where
well,
they've
you
already
think the
passed.
Concern is after Biden. You think Biden's
yeah.
over running.
I don't think Wes Moore in any way would primary Biden.
No doubt about that.
And we can talk about whether or not he's going to. But Wes Moore is going to come in after the blueprint for Maryland's future has already been passed. A revolution. I don't think anybody has really opened up the books and the blueprint for Maryland's future. It is a revolutionary education plan that will make Maryland be an experiment for really funding education the way people think they should. They don't like it that their teachers are paid less than most other professions. Well, Blueprint for Maryland's Future, if that passes, it's going to be different. And so he's going to come in 2 years, he's going to be able to start pointing to things that have been passed before he even came in. He's going to come in, marijuana is going to be legalized. It's going to be taxed. There's going to be money coming in from that.
Gambling's already here.
Gambling and sports.
All these battles
sports
it took 20
gambling.
Years, right?
Yeah, sports
we'll
gambling
John
will
Martin
be online.
On all the time. We're sponsored by the Maryland Lottery. Yep. I'm going to be actually up in Perryville on Sunday, now that I've been thrown out of the Ravens. I'm going to go up in the morning with Todd Heap. He's going to be up in Perryville. So the first numbers were in this week. $982,000
yep.
was the first month of September. Like
right.
big numbers. That's money that is there. That I thought about this on the freeway coming in today. I'm like, it just occurred to me, even a day and a half after I have this conversation with John, I'm like, that used to be like tied to organized crime.
Right.
I mean, like, literally, I don't know where those criminals go now, but like, why would you have a bookie anymore?
Yeah.
Like, literally, even though the state, but everybody's been betting all my life. I'm from Dundalk.
And the same theories so go into marijuana legalization.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
So
yes.
Why are we letting these black markets take all this money from Marylanders? And whereas if we can regulate it, make it safe, make sure that, you know, money is put to gambling counseling and things like that, you know.
Well, in Canada, you get a toothache, your alcohol tax paid for your tooth. I
right.
mean, literally, right?
Yes. And so here in Maryland, when I hear Republicans, even those that aren't Dan Cox fans, that are like, Wes Moore's going to come in and raise taxes. I'm like, he might not be able to raise taxes if he wanted to, because there's going to be so much money coming in that Wes Moore's going to have all the money that he needs. Now, most of it is already dedicated to the Blueprint for Maryland.
So you're
future.
Saying Uncle Larry helped him a little bit with that?
Well,
a little bit.
He tried to stop it.
Right.
Sports gambling, not so much, but certainly the blueprint for America.
But I mean, just having more money.
Yes.
That the state is solvent and we're not where Connecticut was 20. You know what I mean?
Correct.
Like he's inheriting maybe a bad gig in Baltimore to some degree because Baltimore needs to be fixed. We all know that. But he's inheriting a thing that doesn't. That isn't broken. How about that? Is that fair?
Well, so
that
he is inheriting big problems in transportation.
Right.
He's inheriting big problems in housing. He's inheriting a big problem with crime. I don't know how Larry Hogan has gotten away for 8 years to treat Baltimore City like it's on some other planet. Like, you are the governor of Baltimore City.
Of the whole state.
Of the whole state, believe it or not. Despite the fact that he put a map out early in his term that left Baltimore out. But he is Baltimore's governor, and Baltimore's problems are his problems. And he's somehow been able to politically alienate himself from those problems, but Westmore won't. Westmore's going to come in, and Baltimore's going to be a high priority. One of the things that we were looking at with the debate was being surprised at how little Baltimore played in. You know, Baltimore was not, you know, a big focus. There wasn't even a question dedicated to Baltimore City. But Westmore is a Baltimore candidate. He won that primary by basing himself in Baltimore City and picking up other counties and other jurisdictions. Whereas most political campaigns for the Democratic primary in prior cycles have based themselves in Montgomery County, Prince George's County, and Baltimore was a nice to have. Westmore says Baltimore is my need to have, and then I'm going to pick up Prince George's County, lose Montgomery County, lose Howard County in the primary. Like, this is a guy who's going to be a Baltimore governor. And so many of the things, while I'm saying he's inheriting good things for revenue.
Say that and the hair runs on the back of my neck. You know, literally, like, it's one thing to have him say it, but to have you say that, not even on a campaign slogan, but like, that's exciting, man.
Yeah.
I mean, that's exciting.
It should be, because
for a guy who lost his ass on real estate in the city here last 20, you know, for a guy who wrote it out, loves it out, loving it out now with Baltimore Positive, like, that's encouraging. It's discouraging to think he'd run for president, but it's also a thought that if he's the best candidate.
If he's running for president, it means Maryland is the best it's ever been. Because he cannot run a successful campaign for president if Maryland is languishing. If Baltimore still has the problems it has today in 2 years, and yes, that's a quick turnaround.
That's quick.
But it still needs to be showing signs of improvement. And to be fair to Mayor Scott, there are the beginnings of some better signs as it relates to crime. There are some beginnings. I've been discussing that all day.
Like, Odette Ramos was here and Felicia Porter, councilwoman, you know, talking about these numbers is important.
And so he needs Baltimore to be doing great. He needs Maryland to be doing great. It is going to have to be, like, what we don't want for a Westmore is to be running a Pete Buttigieg type of campaign, to be like, we don't really know much about him, but he's got a really interesting personality and he talks well on the stage. No. Westmore is going to be governor for 2 years if he's running for president. And actually, he'd be even governor for less than that once the primary starts. But I think that that is something that people are going to be thinking about, they should be thinking about, because this is a guy that's going to win by a huge margin that's going to be on the front page of national newspapers when he does. And so that is going to be his launching point. I think it has always been a little part of the theory of the case on this. And some have used that to critique Westmore, saying you're just, this is a stopping point. You're just trying to get to the White House. But I think that it ultimately could be to the benefit of all Marylanders, because in order to build a presidential resume, everything needs to be going great in Maryland.
Tom Cole is here. He is the new guy over at BAL. Some of the time, he's been the old guy on this program as well as other. Give me a little Cole update here. And Barry Glassman's here. We're going to talk to him. I may throw him in here to the wolves with you in a couple minutes as well. He's down here getting his bib for the big marathon because I turned 54, and I feel good about beginning my day with a beer and a crab cake, right? He's like running, 60 years old, running up and down the streets tomorrow. So we'll get him on. But what's going on with you?
Well, before we do that, did you bring any of your tokens?
You got a medallion? No.
See,
you're just saying, Cole's so disappointed down
there. That I was coming in today hoping for that. So you know, we're Elevate Maryland is a place where my heart is. You know, 5 years plus that we've had that. Loved our partnership with Baltimore Positive, and so Elevate Maryland is likely going to be evolving. You know, from its caterpillar to a butterfly into something different in the next couple months. So nothing more to say about that.
Oh, that was a little dry. That was a little info drop.
Well,
there.
You know,
we got something new and exciting.
Yeah, and Candace Dodson Reed, my partner, is always doing impressive things. She's got a new president at UMBC. She's her profile grows every year. Even some people people would say that you would have been a great LG candidate. I'm one of those people. It's going to be a place to watch. But yeah, you know, got the radio show.
You were pimping your partner out for politics, were you?
She's such an impressive person because she has built a quiet sort of influence on Maryland that many people don't even recognize. You know, you look at many of the things that she's written on the Black agenda, many of the partnerships that she's made. You know, you search her name, and everywhere you turn around, when big things are happening as it relates to things that she cares about, you know, education, opportunity, her name is somewhere in that article. And so I care so much for her. I think that she is an amazing leader, and I'm excited to see what's going to happen with UMBC with the new president.
Meantime, you're hitting the brakes on 83 like all of us and getting off at PAL, right?
Don't do
51 over there.
I go the back route. You know, I go through the city.
It's like my age today, 49. Do 49 when you go through there.
Well, yeah, and happy birthday, by the way. I wish
I were 49. I used to be 49.
A little bit late for the cakes.
I was 49. Well, no, you're not. I still have a third of a crack. We're Fadley's, man. I nursed this puppy. See, what happened was I ate all the tomatoes.
Uh-huh.
So I want to get some more because I like to have it with a tomato here.
Yeah, you gotta get them brought out.
Like, it's perfect.
But we're talking about the election cycle. Like, and all due respect to Dan Cox, I had the opportunity to talk to him after the debate. I'm bored with that race. I think that we have many more interesting races going on across the state. And what is also interesting to me is how that race is going to affect the rest of them. You know, you got Barry Glassman coming on next in a contest against Brooke Learman. Sort of the last
one ballot. Everybody's seeing the same thing, and, you know. It's right.
And the last outpost of the Hogan Scholes wing of the Republican Party, and we could very well see the end of that wing of the Republican Party in this election cycle. And what does that mean for the future of Maryland politics? Because we're going to have a November 10th, when after the ballots, the ballots won't all be counted by then, thanks to everything going on with the courts and with Dan Cox and
it's
the like.
It's absurd.
But we're going to have it December 1st, put it that way, when we actually have all these ballots counted. And Maryland politics is going to be fundamentally different that day. We are not likely to have a divided government. We're not going to have Larry Hogan around anymore. And so what is our political environment going to look like then? And so that's what I'm paying most attention to. Like Alan Kittleman, Calvin Ball. I think that Dan Cox being on the ballot makes Alan Kittleman have an unwinnable race. But everybody's talking about it like it's going to be close. You've got Anne Arundel County with Jessica Hare and Stuart Pittman. That's one where that one is looking to be close. All of the polling indicates that it will be close. But then we have a poll that comes out that says marijuana being on the ballot could increase turnout of young voters and people of color. That is going to affect that race. And so it's funny.
You think marijuana is a real wedge, interesting?
So Tom Perez.
People will vote on marijuana.
When Tom Perez was chair of the DNC, he said that every state he would go into, they would say, how do we get marijuana on the ballot? Democrats would ask for that in every state because there's something called cannabis coattails. And based on the study that you look at, and there's a recent article in Maryland Matters about this, but it could increase Democratic performance by 3-5%. So if you look at these races that are close, 3-5% makes
That's
it no
huge.
Longer close. Yes.
Yes.
And so if Stuart Pittman is increasing his performance by 3-5% in Anne Arundel County.
Because some kid in wherever, Fort Meade, he hasn't voted but says, I'm on for weed. Boom.
Then he wins by 3-5%. And so what Maryland can, the lobbying group or sort of the pack that is around question four, which is marijuana legalization, they just put out this poll that says, hey, look, we talked to people who said, I might vote, I might not vote. They're like, did you know marijuana's on the ballot? No, I did not.
Now I want to vote.
How does this affect you? It makes 50%
That's a
of those people
number.
That were iffy say that they're going to turn out.
Of any age, not under 40? Or like,
of any age. But then you look at young people, 60%. You look at people of color, 60%. That is how much that boosted their likelihood of voting once they found out marijuana was on the ballot. So the real question is do they know? And are they going to know? You've seen television commercials for Westmore. You've seen you haven't seen commercials for Dan Cox, but we haven't really seen television commercials for marijuana legalization. And so whether or not people know is going to be the difference as to whether or not these cannabis coattails manifest.
Tom Cole, we always learn something. So I was worried about Glassman. That like we were bumping out the Harford County executive and the controller hopeful and all that. He's over here having a crab cake. He's
yeah,
just,
he is.
So, you know, we're just going to keep this going. You enjoy yourself. I don't want you to eat, and you're a politician running for office. You can't be spitting your food. You got a race to run tomorrow, man. This guy's running a marathon. We're going to keep talking.
All
yeah,
right.
You're going to eat, and we're going to keep talking. That's what we're going to do.
Don't make
Tom
this
Tom Coles, it's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. Are you okay on time there, County Executive?
Yeah, I've got a hard stop at 12, but we really got
to then we're fine, then. We're going to stay here for you. Enjoy your crab. Did you get the little tomatoes? You're going to love it. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. Barry Glassman's going to be here a little bit. He's going to get a scratch off from the Maryland Lottery. We're letting ourselves play around here. Our friends at Goodwill and Window Nation as well, supporting everything we're doing on the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. You had a podcast. You got sick. You got COVID or something crazy.
Oh.
I was coming down on election day, primary election day. You were doing your thing down at the brewery and
Locust
Point, right?
It was the dream, and the dream got exploded by
Diamondback, right?
By the virus. Yes, I was really looking forward to that, but I don't know if you've had your dance with COVID, but
I have not, and I'm going to keep it that way.
Yeah, you please do. But it took me. It wasn't so much being sick. I was also running for my own race at that time, training for my own race, the Ragnar, which is this really intense trail run. And I tried to get back out running 2 weeks after I first had COVID. I didn't get my lung capacity back for a month.
I had Jane Miller on. I mean, Jane's had long form, you know, like all that. And she's always quote numbers and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and I've talked to a lot of health people in the health space, and I had Rick Sipon from Wise Markets on my flu shots, and there was this thing's changed me fundamentally.
Yeah.
I don't hug people. I don't never shake a hand.
Yeah.
But I'll hug one person if they mean a lot to me. To have my boss, Jack Gibbons, I saw him last week. We had from the Baltimore Sun. He gave my first job.
Uh-huh.
And I was the second job, actually, but the job that mattered at the Sun Papers when I was 17 years old.
Uh-huh.
Got my parents to sign the permission form to join the guild. I saw Jack, you know, it's been, oh my God, 36 years since he gave me a gig, and I said, I'm hugging you, bro. I'm freaking hugging you. I don't hug anybody, but I'm hugging you. It's changed me in that way,
yeah.
And I haven't gotten sick, knock on wood,
yeah.
Because I am elbowing. I would put a mask on. I have a mask in my bag for if I'm in a tight space.
Right.
But, you know, I've come to grips with this, you know, and when was yours was in April, May? June, the election was June.
Yeah, June. It was, I mean, it hit me right when the primary was on. So, I missed all the fun parties, missed having a show at a brewery, but, you know, that's what it is. That's our new normal. And also for me, it was very important that when I had it, I did everything I can to not make other people sick. I think that as COVID is lessening in severity, because as we know with viruses, they are more transmissible the less intense they are. Because the more intense the virus, the more you're not going to be out and about. But people are sort of saying, well, if I wear a mask, I can still go to this, that, and the other thing. And I think that's really scary. I think that people need to continue to follow the science. And when you get it, stay home. But I'm sure you've had plenty of...
I did 31 crab cakes, 31 breweries in 31 days in August. It was kind of going around at that time. And it's just safety was everything.
Yeah.
My wife got sick at that Baltimore Magazine party.
Oh,
she got that.
Gosh.
She got that infection.
Stomach bug, yeah.
I mean, she had it for 3 weeks. It was like going to Mexico. It was terrible.
Ugh.
And that happened at the end of the crab cake tour for her.
Uh-huh.
So she went up the last 10 days being sort of knocked out.
Uh-huh.
She couldn't eat anything,
yeah.
Let alone have a crab cake and a beer every day, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, and when she got sick, we weren't sure because it was right during Mako.
Yeah.
The same weekend. Right. And she's like, I was hugging Glassman. And then I hugged everybody was down there. I wasn't hugging anybody at Mako.
Yeah.
I elbowed up everybody and just kind of kept my distance because I'm a little hyper concerned. I'm not Howie Mandel, but I told this story. Cal Ripken never shook hands with people because he played every day. And when I used to do my show out at the barn with
uh-huh.
the football players, I would shake everyone. I was just happy to have listeners, right? I want to shake. Thank you. Thank
right.
you. Thank you. Thank you. And then I rub my nose. I go to the bathroom. I come back out and I'd be sick as a dog on Wednesday from touching people.
Yeah.
So I hate that about me. Because I'm like Italian Spain. I want to get in there on every. But it's changed me.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah. It's probably for the best.
Because I don't want this.
I know.
Well, you're telling me I can run. And I'm like, I don't know. No, not me. I got too much ish to do.
Right.
I got a crab cake tour next week at the Gunpowder Lodge.
Yeah. I mean, I got 3 kids and they don't take days off.
Right. So. Right. Right. All right. So last thing for you, because we're doing politics. Barry Glassman's with an earshot, and we can talk about Republicans, Democrats, all that. I want to talk. Last Saturday night, I went up to Barry's. I was up in Harford County, Barry. I was up at Habit of Grace for Heather Mazier's fundraiser with Melissa Etheridge.
Mm-hmm.
As much as you're confident who's going to win, who's going to lose, Democrat, Republican. You've mentioned Howard County, Anne Arundel County,
yeah.
marijuana, young voters, all that. That's the most interesting race in the state.
Yeah.
And no one would have ever told you that it could be interesting or that it could be something we could talk about, because I've sat here for 6 months and everybody's like, I like Heather. She's nice. It's good. She can't win.
Yeah.
Like, I've heard that again and again and again and again and again. Where are you on that a couple weeks out on the election?
So let's start with the premise that Heather Mazier has enough money to poll. She has polled that district. She knows what it looks like. If that poll showed her winning, I expect we would have seen that poll. I think the problem right now in District 1 is that we know, and this is what we're seeing across the country, partisans are staying home. And partisans are less likely to vote cross-ballot than they've ever been before, mostly because they're not voting for their person. They're voting against what they're afraid of. That's why Democrats are talking so much about, I'm sorry, Republicans are talking so much about how Democrats are communists, and Democrats are talking so much about how Republicans
are extremists,
insurrectionist terrorists.
Right.
Because they know their voters are much more likely to get up and vote if they're voting against something they're afraid of than voting for something that they love. And the same dynamic. Except weed. yes. As our recent poll showed. So that is a challenge that Heather has. And I think that she's running an excellent campaign. You know, I always say that you need the other party validators. So if you're a Democrat running in a Republican district or a Republican running in a Democratic district, you need validators from the other party that give permission to Republicans to vote Democrat and give permission for Democrats to vote Republican. And those are the type of ads that Heather's running. That's the type of message that she's running. It's a great message. She just put out her fundraising numbers today. She raised something like $570,000.
I gave her $45 times two because we went to see Melissa Etheridge.
I thought you were going to say times 100.
You know what? I'm not a campaign contributor in that way, or paying $500 to go to a party. I just feel like for what I do, it's not cool. I wanted to go to Melissa Etheridge, and I wanted to support Heather. I haven't endorsed anybody beyond Bill Henry ever.
Yeah.
Like, literally, I have to be appalled.
Yeah.
And I am appalled by Dan Cox.
Yes.
And I'm friends with Barry Glassman.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, like, I can call it however I see it, but as far as contributing, I just feel like that makes me less of a journalist when I contribute.
Mm-hmm.
But in this particular case with Heather, I felt like it was important for me to show support because I believe it in my heart. I live really close to one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I live in Baltimore County, like, I live six blocks from one.
You know what I mean? Probably almost were in one.
Right. What I'm saying is she's not even trying so much down here in regard to the uphill battle that she has on the Eastern Shore.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, whereas Barry's down here in Baltimore City, where the city voted 92% against Trump, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, so, and there will be Democrats that will vote for Barry, right?
Yeah.
And the question is, are there Republicans that will vote for Heather Mazier?
I think so. I think there are a lot of Republicans that are... So the Republican Party moved quickly. It moved quickly to the right. And so those people that were more towards the center are still there. They haven't changed their registration. Just like we have Democrats in Maryland who have never voted a Democrat in my lifetime because they were a
Democrat. They felt like they needed to be in the race,
And they just never changed their registration. So a lot of those Republicans are sitting there and they look at Andy Harris, who so clearly aligns himself with the most extreme elements of that party, and they're saying, that's not for me. And not only that, I resent Andy Harris for doing that to my political party. There are a lot of Republicans that are very angry with what has been done with their party because they have certain beliefs that are not represented by Democrats as it relates to small government, low taxes, no intervention in our lives.
That don't
whatsoever.
Have a whole lot to do with guns, insurrection, racism.
Exactly.
Right.
And all of that is big government. I mean, everything about the Trump side of the Republican Party is big government, intervening in people's lives more, making government more powerful. And so that's not what the Republican Party's about. I think those Republicans are going to be open to Heather Mazier's message. Whether or not there's enough of them to get her to win, I think she knows, and we don't know. I think she has polling information in that race that shows a path to victory and does show a way she can get there, but that it is as challenging as we presume it is.
Can she win? Yes?
Yes.
You think she can win?
She can win. Yes. I am not...
That's an interesting one that we're this screwing around with the holding the vote, that when every vote comes in, that's one on November the 18th.
Yeah.
I think we're going to still be looking at it.
I mean, we saw polling come out today that shows Lauren Boebert in her race may be behind. I think that there is a lot of movement that's happening.
Damien O'Doherty would be happy with that because he lives in her district.
But there's a lot of movement that's happening in the later stages here. Because remember, most voters are not like us. Most voters make up their mind in either the last week or the last 24 hours before they go to the ballot box. We know polling is just a snapshot in time. It's not a predictor. And so people that are making their mind late are light, especially with this recent January 6th hearing and everything going on with Mar-a-Lago, those voters are likely going to be Heather Mazier voters because the other voters have voted for Andy Harris X number of times.
They're established.
Right. And so the ones that are still making up their mind, those undecided voters, I expect Heather Mazier to pick up a good chunk of those. Whether or not it's enough, neither of us have seen the polling. We don't know where it is right now, or we don't know where it was a week ago. But can she win? Absolutely.
Tom Cole's here. He's elevating Maryland as well as elevating WBAL. Get everybody the BAL spiel. When are you on? Tell everybody.
Saturdays and Tuesday nights as of right now. Saturdays, right. 7 to 10.
No baseball.
No baseball. That's right.
Well, you need a little downtime. It's time for football, college basketball.
Yes.
Hockey was on the other night. You know. Crab cake for Tom? Yeah. You know what? We're going to get you a crab cake. I'm going to break out so I can slow down. Harford County Executive Barry Glassman is here in Baltimore City. He's running for controller. We're going to bring him onto the program. Everything here is brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I'm giving away Maryland scratch-offs. I've given you one already. So Tom Cole has a Maryland scratch-off lottery ticket. And tell me how to find you before I get into all my plugs here and take a break.
Twitter is the best way. Hoco Rising on Twitter.
Hoco Rising.
That's right.
We haven't talked about the Howard County race the way you want to. Have you?
I think the Howard County race is done. I think Calvin Ball is going to win by 10 points.
When you see Calvin, tell him that I'll get anything he wants. He's shellfish intolerant.
Yeah, I know.
So, like, you know, I can't get him for a crab cake, but just let him know, like, I want to have some kind of cake with him.
So you'll take him to Morton's, right?
Wherever he wants to go. That's fine. I'll meet him at Meriwether Post Pavilion.
All
you
right.
Know?
Yeah.
We can. Yeah, exactly. All right. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery, our friends at Goodwill. This month is Halloween. A lot of Halloween shopping at Goodwill. I gave a big truckload of stuff last month. If you're cleaning out your closets, consider them. They're doing some jobs training, job programs, and the Excel Center is about to open up next year as well. And our friends at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION. You buy two, you get two free. It's like we had two crab cakes here, and one's gone now because I've eaten it. Don't sleep on those little tomatoes, man.
I'm not.
That's what
I'm
makes
not.
Them special
you
here.
Sell them well.
Oh, you've had a fade in these crab cake, yes?
Yes, sir.
You have.
I have.
This is not your first
Thank
one.
You.
All right. Because if it was your first one, I'd make you do it right now. Just watch your eyes roll back in your head, you know.
Well, as it says up there, weak knees, right? That's what the quote says.
Weak knees.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Damie's doing like a video now online where she picks the crab cakes. So at this very table, here's a little political history for you. Matt Gallagher was here a couple years ago. 4th of July week. And Mulder was telling me I picked crabs wrong. The wrong way.
Oh, I saw that video. That was
everybody's seen that video.
That was a valuable video.
So this phone sat right here on this napkin case, and her hands came around the table, and she was like playing with it, and she did the cage thing,
yeah,
the legs,
the lollipop
yep. Right? Laid it out right here, right where we're standing, and the video sat in my phone for 5 days. We did that on like the 30th of June. I shot the video. That Saturday was 4th of July weekend. It was like the 5th of July. Worst time you could possibly put a video on social media. Saturday afternoon, it was like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, holiday weekend, 150 degrees out. I was going to the Heritage Fair. I was going to take a nap. What happened was after she broke the crab in half and I lollipop, I took the other half and I slit my finger open right here. And I bled. You could even see the crease of my finger. I bled out all over the place. And I couldn't even wrap my equipment up. The J.O. spice is in the cut. Like, I bandaged it up. And 5 days later, I'm home. My wife's taking a nap. I look on the phone. I'm like, oh, shit, I shot that video with Davey. That was kind of interesting, even though I bled afterward. I'll put it up. And I put it up, and I took a nap, and I woke up and had 80,000 views.
Wow.
And I'm like, how did that happen?
Should have put some ads on
and
that
And then
one.
The whole summer, everybody's like, yeah, you're the crab cake guy. I'm like, I've been doing sports for 30 years. Call me anything, but crab cake guy. So I became the crab cake guy for a summer. So that's how the crab cake tour came into play. Because the crabs, Maryland and crabs and football and beer and politics, it's kind of all,
yeah.
You know, that's the way it works.
Yeah.
All right, Elevate Maryland, WBAL on Tuesdays and Saturdays. Tom Cole is here. We're at Fadley's. eating good in the neighborhood, although that one's already stolen. We're at Fadley's Lexington Market, the old market, about to move into the new market, about to get to Catonsville. You can always find them and order some crab cakes. If you're out of town, it will come looking better than this. It'll come looking more like that.
Here we go.
But when you're done with it, it'll look like this, because it'll be in your belly. Barry Glassman's next. He's the Harford County Executive. He is running for controller of our great state of Maryland. We're down here in Baltimore doing Baltimore Positive. Stay with us.